Conciliums with Pete and Charlie.
I'm Pete.
I'm Charlie.
The unity of knowledge.
That and a whole bunch of caffeine is what's going to get us through this. I'm drinking so much water that I have to pee constantly.
You still off the drugs?
I'm still off the drugs. And by drugs, ladies and gentlemen, we're not talking about black tar heroin. We're talking about proton pump inhibitors.
How's your heartburn?
Bad.
Is it really?
Yeah. Acute, I believe, is what
we've Do you think it. Your esophagus is burning away kind of bad or uncomfortable all the time bad?
No, just uncomfortable. I don't believe I'm, you know, seriously permanently damaging the lower end of my esophagus, you know, to get to things like Barrett's esophagus, which I believe is precancerous. You can actually have all sorts of bad things fall out from that. So I've basically been treating it with water. I've been treating it with
you
water.
You say things could fall out of your esophagus?
Well, no. I mean, there would be fallout from
I understand, but the phrasing was kind of remarkable.
Look, it's 420.
Let's take that power strip and get it right off of the table here, because that makes me crazy.
He's worried about me
and
spilling
this
my water
thing right
on the power
here.
Strip.
I don't like this either. I'm going to take this cord.
He's handling all sorts of cables. Charlie, the cable handler.
I don't call it the cable. I call it something else.
Oh.
Okay, so it is, as we record, April 20th. This won't come out until probably May. But
that's okay.
It
but
is.
People will want a nostalgic look at 420.
Which is also known as 420, and which is also known as a drug user's unofficial holiday.
And let me ask you a question. Since you're more the humanities side of this this duo here, the origin story. No one can seem to agree on the origin story of 420.
Well, I think that it is apocryphal. Mm-hmm. I think that the idea of 420 being the code, the police code for
right. Was it in Los Angeles or Berkeley?
Something?
That's what I thought it was. I thought it was a police code for marijuana possession.
I don't know about that. I think that that is not true. I think that that
But
is,
a lot of people have made up a lot of other origin stories.
420 criminal code, if you pop that into the internet, myth-busting 420, Snopes 420.
Okay, so
Section 420 of the California Penal Code refers to obstructing entry on public land.
Well, happy obstructing public entry.
it seems like it just happened. And if you were to really pursue it, you have to start
They would have to kill you.
You have to start unpacking all kinds of stuff. Like, right. If you look at April 20th, like, I think that there's a few horrible things about today. Like, it's the anniversary of... Let's see, of a number of deaths, obviously, and a number of births, but there's one that really bugs the hell out of me. Let me see if I can find that.
Uh-oh.
Right, it's Adolf Hitler's birthday.
Coincidence or not?
Well, here's the thing. Whenever you say something like that, coincidence or not, about something that makes drugs look bad, let's remember that a good part of drug criminalization in America was driven by cultural forces, people deciding to criminalize behavior of groups that they did not like or felt threatened by, which is why heroin was a sudden and intense criminalized drug, mm-hmm. and dope was a sudden and intense criminalized drug.
And by
drug.
Dope, you mean marijuana?
I do mean marijuana, which is okay. Not how you pronounce it. should we settle some terms very quickly? What do you call the smoky smoke?
Weed.
Weed.
And when did you learn about weed? Because I lived in California for a long time. Middle school, when I moved back from California, ironically. Never saw this stuff in California.
All right.
Moved back to the Chicago area, and Mark Gossman, my neighbor, enjoyed the cannabis lifestyle.
The dope arrived in my life in college. Uh-huh. That's when I started hearing about it. And also dope was, I think, briefly heroin also.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think dope referred to other stronger drugs as well.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting theory you have that these were cultural forces designed to marginalize.
It's not a theory. I mean, like, because it's been 50, 60, 70 years after the fact.
Right.
Like, it's people are now willing to cop to the fact, like, yeah, we knew that heroin was more common in the black community and in jazz music, and so we criminalized it because of those people. And we knew that pot was really big with the hippies and the anti-war folks, so we criminalized
Actually,
that.
A number of jazz musicians smoked the reefer, including Louis Armstrong.
It was called an herbal jazz cigarette.
Is that what it was called?
No, that's one thing Paul McCartney once said. Anyway, I just wanted to say, like, coincidence or not, like, certainly Adolf Hitler's birthday is, yeah, that coincidence. And if you don't think so, let me know. Tell me. Tweet to us and explain to me why Adolf Hitler and
marijuana. And where would they be tweeting if they believe there's a connection?
I'm Bennett Radio and you're Pete Ludovus.
Actually, if you want to tweet, I'm actually Pete Ludovus.
Didn't I say that?
No, you said P. Ludovus.
P. Ludovus, I apologize. Yeah. I slurred because I'm quite
high. No, that's okay.
High.
No, he's not actually. I'm he's not, just old
no,
and boring.
I like to joke.
That's the scary part. But speaking
Pete,
of
Pete. P-E-T-E L-U-D-O-V-I-C-E. And I am Bennett Radio, B-E-N-N-E-T-T-R-A-D-I-O.
M-O-U-S-E.
Exactly. So, how long has it been since you got high?
Oh, okay. So I could say this.
You've
on the air.
Been stoned
legally.
Much more recently.
It was
than I
it was last year legally in Denver.
Yeah.
And for us old people who are all concerned about COPD, what is that? Chronic occlusive pulmonary disorder.
The lung stuff.
My mom has that. If you have pulmonary issues, and who doesn't know in allergy season here in Atlanta, I find myself wheezing just because my lungs are clogged with you know. Dust.
Like actual particulate
matter.
Yeah,
particulates. It's scary. And let me just say, for those of us that are worried about our pulmonary health.
Are you doing a Jimmy Stewart?
No, I'm doing a... No, Jimmy Stewart spoke much clearly. I'm doing a...
Tom Brokaw.
No. Who is currently the majority leader in the Senate?
Move on. Now.
Okay. But he kind of talks like that. Tom Brokaw here. No, I guess it was a little Brokaw-esque. We're a big fan of edibles, if you're concerned about your pulmonary health.
Because you don't want the smoke in your lungs.
The smokage is bad.
So
Smoke is bad.
Did you eat a brownie?
No, gummy bears.
Gummy bears. That's just, that seems like a Tim Burton movie.
I think it's cute. Kind of. Now, I was first introduced to this by a comedian who shall remain nameless backstage at a performing arts center.
The gummy bears or weed?
No, the weird delivery vehicles. That's what they would call it if you do drug delivery, which I have done some research on, along with a number of my colleagues here at Georgia Tech.
Because there's big money in drug delivery.
Oh, yes.
Legal
absolutely.
Money, no less.
Yeah. No, and making it easier to take your medicine instead. Is that an airplane or a hum in the HVAC system?
That's the eye in the sky scoping this conversation. We're going to have to start using euphemisms like Barry White tickets or pots and pans or Caesar salad.
I don't even want to know what Caesar salad means.
Hey, man, you want to come over and listen to Barry White? Yes, I do. I do want to listen to Barry White. You got some Barry White?
Well, if we're going to talk about 420 in the drug culture, everyone did have a euphemism for it.
There's remarkable poetry.
Yeah, I did not, but some friends of mine that I went to MIT with, and yes, ladies and gentlemen, there are people that did PhDs in engineering and science at MIT who have succumbed to reefer madness. this one guy who is now in a position of responsibility doing environmentally sound research.
You ever watch Reefer Madness?
No, I've never actually seen it. They always show you the cuts where the guy's like, whoa.
And I've read the descriptions, and I mean, it's obviously insane, right? To suggest that reefer madness is this thing that happens.
Mm-hmm. I think it's insane to say it's a gateway drug to the degree that they do.
Alcohol is a gateway drug.
But what are they gateway drugs to? That's the question. I think weed is a gateway drug to eating Hostess Twinkies and playing video games on your couch. It is a gateway drug to a non-productive member of society. That I will agree with.
Were we talking about it? Just recently where, you know, marijuana doesn't make you stupid. It just makes you care less about being smart. Like it
no, but that's I like that.
It reduces.
I'm going to put that on a T-shirt.
I feel like it was you and me talking about it. But
I don't
maybe,
think it was.
I don't know. Maybe we were both getting old. But, you know, a lot of the, excuse me, a lot of the categories, stereotypes, you know, or anecdotally proven, you know, qualities right. that people who use drugs have. For marijuana, that whole, like, sloth and gluttony, you know, and inertia even, or limited ambition. I think that that comes from sort of a central just relaxing, right? A central anti-anxiety quality to marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Which is...
Agree, and that is one of the official things you can use it to treat for medical marijuana dispensaries.
And that's the jump I was going to make. And also, that's something that we're trying to stamp out pharmaceutically in America.
What do you mean stamp out?
Well, I'm just saying there's anti-anxiety
massively
drugs.
Reproduce it or get rid of it?
No. We're trying to... There are many, many drugs that people take so that they're not depressed and they're not anxious so that they can...
lots of drugs.
Move on
big
through
money.
Life. Yeah, exactly.
Big money.
Big money. And this is where I almost start to drop into, so, you know, that's why they won't legalize it, man, because there's so much money in big pharma. But then, of course, they did legalize it. So, never mind.
So that's interesting. So the scientific perspective, from my point of view, is why not take the cannabinoid molecules? And there's a whole series of them, right? If you smoke a little weed.
I thought we were calling it weed.
Right, the weed molecules.
There you go.
And these are a class of molecules that interact with the cannabinoid receptor. And the head, the ligand that interacts with it, looks very, very similar. And then the part that dangles off the end kind of determines the effect.
Dangles.
Dangles, I will say that. Because it's usually sort of a floppy alkane hydrocarbon
floppy.
Kind of thing. So it does dangle. But I think we should be doing more research. And there's plenty of them. I've got three articles in front of me right now that actually look at cannabis, the isomers that naturally occur. But you can actually change them. You can synthesize
them. So
these.
Are we going to talk about getting high, or are we going to talk about how science has to sort of accommodate, extrapolate, and elude the legality of its research sometimes to be true?
I thought we were going to talk about the hypocrisy of making this illegal.
No, okay.
When we give opioids to people left and right, which are the same kind of drugs that are analgesic, they relieve pain.
You did not tell me that we were going to get into political activism in this episode.
It's not.
I thought we were
going
to trade
activism.
Stories about, like, I listened to Neil Young once after smoking a spliff the size of my arm, and it really changed my life for the better.
Well, that's one perspective.
The only reason that I think GoldenEye is a good movie is because of marijuana.
I like that movie. I saw it totally sober.
I'll tell you what, it's really good if you're high.
All right, are we going to talk about best movies to watch when you're chemically imbalanced?
I don't have a lot of movies. I have that
How about
GoldenEye
any
story.
Good movie? GoldenEye, is GoldenEye better? When you...
Well, I've never seen it except
Heavy
for the one
metal.
Time.
Heavy metal.
Oh, I can
metal.
Imagine that one, yeah. No, I'm just saying.
Oh, like, we're getting a call now. Somebody's listening.
I never saw GoldenEye except for this one time, and that was after I had... smoked. Ingested is the, you know,
imbibed.
Imbibed. But what is there for smoking? Is there something? There's a word that's an eh word for.
I do not know.
Anyway, I took down a big chunk of this massive joint, and then I watched GoldenEye, and it was really good. And in the middle, I actually had this thought: what an interesting deconstruction of the James Bond myth. Like, there was no way that I would have taken any of that seriously if not for the serious reduction in my cynicism and my mental acuity.
So you actually sat there and goes, my God, this is a genre-defining film.
I think I might have. Although that phrase wasn't bouncing around in 1996. It was just much more of a, my God, this postmodern investigation of the line about drinking to silence the screams of the men you've killed or whatever it was. And I was thinking, he really got James
I guess,
Bond's number there.
You know, there's
man.
A I'm not sure I'm advocating recreational use of anything. I actually admire the Mormons who are like, your body's a temple, don't put stuff in it.
I go back and forth. I find that body is a temple thing to be kind of bullshit.
Okay.
at its core, I find it to be bullshit, you know.
Yeah, I don't mean it in the religious sense, but I'm saying, like, your body is a very complex interconnected system. Messing with its balance can be a bad thing. But
except
they won't let me have my cup of tea in the morning, screw them.
But this is why I'm saying bullshit, because, yeah, we're a complicated, complex system, and so are we not prepared to be messed with? Is that
right.
not what we are?
Right.
Is
when you take a cup of coffee...
Right? Imbalances.
Yeah, when you drink a cup of coffee in the morning, you are self-medicating as you are with anything
else.
I'm
saying literally, like, hunger. You know, hunger and adrenaline and emotions. Like, you are reactive. You know, the idea of your body. Now you're yawning because I'm boring you.
No, because I'm old and tired.
Because all you're drinking is water. So no coffee
right.
for you.
This
no
segment
tea for you.
Of Consilience with Pete and Charlie brought to you by Geritol.
But so I lived a long portion of my life, I lived a chunk of my life in an attempt to avoid any extremes of emotion and to avoid any extremes of moral dilemma or just actions.
You sound like a lazy sack of crap.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, okay. I was. And it was quite clearly depression of some kind.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And
I think we all go through phases like that.
Stay still and not be messed with and have nothing change.
Right.
And I was very unhappy, even if I was kind of like straight down the line. I was skee ball. I was 100s all the way because there was nothing at stake and there was no... Mm-hmm. I watched a lot of Deadwood.
Okay.
Like over and over again. I've seen Deadwood so many times, you know?
Okay. Am I supposed to bring forth a diagnosis now?
No, I gave the diagnosis. Now I'm just filling things in, you know? But I just watched so much TV and I stayed, you know, I had so many rules for how I lived my life, and I just kept everything still. And that's not how you live. That's just not a way. Certainly, that's not a fun life. You know, like maybe you get to the end of that, and you leave a mostly intact corpse, right?
I think it's easy to get dependent on any one of these self-medication regimes, so whether it's caffeine or alcohol.
When
or
I started
marijuana
to enjoy my life, when I came out of whatever that sort of you know,
funk
shell,
is what I'm gonna call
funk
it.
Maybe, like, but just that sort of insistence on security.
Yeah,
I started to have wild swings of emotion and very intense experiences. The birth of my children. You know, is that some intense shit?
That
man.
Is seriously. I believe that's the clinical name for it too.
So why would you then say you shouldn't mess with the system? That's really what I'm saying.
Good point, because people sort of say, well, you should only do it naturally. They're like, we only want natural things, not chemicals. Well, chemicals are natural too. They're all over the place.
And, you know,
and in fact,
that to me is a semantic
weed
argument,
is a
right?
natural chemical.
I mean, when people say, you know, oh man, that's got so many chemicals in it, and then someone says, oh, do you mean like H2O? That's a chemical. I say, go fuck yourself, is what I say to people who call everything chemicals. Because, yeah, that's true, but it's a lot like saying, you know, everything is physics, man. It's like, well, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And that's not the point that people are trying to make. They're trying to make a point like, I don't want preservatives in my food, right? Yeah. I don't want additional things that are unnecessary.
Additional chemicals. Yeah. Chemicals that have no business being there.
And when you read ingredients and it's like flour, water, lecithin, what is it? Is it lecithin?
Lecithin.
Lecithin.
It's a soybean
oil. I think
oil.
It's lecithin now because I...
Because that sounds dirty.
Boom! That was a totally appropriate use of the Family
I'm
Guy.
I'm allowed Family Guy references when it's appropriate.
You know, like that's what people are saying. I don't want additional things. And
yeah, that's
just
okay.
Because someone gets crazy and starts saying things like they use that's the same thing they use in yoga mats, and people are like, yeah, except you don't say what something's going to be defines what it is.
You don't
right?
eat your yoga mat either, unless you're really stoned.
Sure. It is a straw man, right? To say everything's chemicals, mm-hmm. and so you're being crazy, right? Like, processed food, you know, is quite obviously less good than unprocessed food.
Yes and no.
No, there's no to it.
You're making a moral judgment on food here. I don't think
I'm
you can do that.
I'm not making a moral judgment.
I will say this, that when we process food, we do it to, you know, increase the shelf life and the availability and things like that. We do it for good reasons.
And the reason we do that
but if we
is
do too much
we
of it,
can't have
yeah.
natural. That's what I'm saying.
If we do when too said, much of that, we do screw with the system needlessly.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
Like, that's a solution to a problem. That's not a thing to do. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
so completely synthetic food, I'm against it. But a little bit of sodium ascorbate as a preservative
right,
to prevent
right.
cholera,
I'm also saying, like, what's the word for it? The alternative, right?
Right.
It's not that, dear God, you know, that's so bad for you and this is so good for you. I'm saying it's obvious that it's better.
Right.
You know, to go natural. And I'm not saying organic. I'm not using buzzwords or anything like that. I'm just saying natural. Stuff that's identifiable. Stuff that you know what the process is, as opposed to stuff that the process is overly complicated in terms of people like me, normal people. I have no understanding of science, right? I'm a humanities guy.
No, you're a stack major.
You can bake what is kind of an Oreo cookie at mm-hmm. home,
yes.
right? Or you can buy them.
Right.
And I would say that there's no argument that sounds good to me about why eating a sleeve of home-cooked, home-baked Oreos is better than eating a sleeve of, is not better than eating a sleeve of industry-created Oreos.
Okay.
Now I'm getting
buy
into
a
some,
tobacco company,
some crazy
actually,
shit.
Actually, oh, right. RGR Nabisco.
Exactly. But I
new
will,
tobacco-flavored Oreos.
It's also quite obvious that it's not like, oh, one is angelic and one is devilish.
Right, I agree.
Right.
There's a balance.
It's just,
there's a balance.
It's just you probably don't need all the shit that's in the
yeah.
Oreos.
Including lard, by the way. They have lard.
Yeah, okay. I'm going off on a thing here, and I'm sure that there's folks who identify themselves as skeptics right now who are like, this is the same kind of bullshit that, you know, no GMO organic food kind of people say. And to that, I say, get your head out of your ass, right?
Excuse me?
I am a little bit tired of the corporate apology that seems to be wrapped into the quote-unquote skepticism movement in America.
Are you going to have to explain this one? Is there a point here?
Yeah, smoke a joint, calm down. That's my point.
Well, I think that's what a number of the researchers in the studies I was looking at this morning are saying. They're looking at cannabis and cannabis oil, and the only reason they don't have people stoke up a blunt.
Stoke
is
up.
One.
Oh, I haven't heard that one.
I think I just made that up.
are we going to start making up words?
Why not? Like, we've done it before. Let's continue to
yeah,
do so.
The only reason I like to wrangle a floppy.
I'll be laughing about that one till lunch. Is well, first of all, you can't smoke in hospitals, and the pulmonary issues are bad for you. But it's they want to control the delivery, the actual amount. So they will tend to use oils and things like that
that
are extracted. So they need to extract them by chemists and things like that. They're just interested to see, can these things, one of them was looking at, I think they call it rescue pain or rescue analgesia. Rescue analgesia, right? So analgesic, meaning pain reduction. And that's when you have very acute pain and you need to give them something right away. This is when the nurse says something, do you need something for the pain? And they shoot something in your IV.
So yeah, they wait to see what you say, right? Because you're like, yeah, I hurt so much. It's like 10,000 horses trampling over my feet. You know, they're like, well, now you're getting a little bit crazy. Are you just trying to get the drugs?
Well, that is an issue because I think some of these you can develop a dependence. And there was actually some success in postoperative pain. Here's another study that says it's good for HIV-associated sensory neuropathy, so nerve-related pain from HIV. But here's another one that said they didn't see much of an effect in acute inflammatory pain. And that may be that it's not much of an anti-inflammatory agent. Many of the analgesics you take are also anti-inflammatory. And inflammation is a real big issue in your body. It's your body telling you something's wrong,
right.
And it often leads to pain. But I applaud the fact that they're at least studying this. This is something we did not do for a long time because of this cultural finger pointing of, well, we don't want to do that. But they're happy
is
to give you a drug
forces?
Based well, on heroin.
Sure. But is it cultural or is it legality? Like, are there studies of things that are illegal that you know of? I mean, like, are there polymers that you're not allowed to sell that, you know, that you do experiments on or with
no,
or about?
No, that I know of.
Isn't it the legal problem as opposed to the cultural problem?
But don't you claimed before that the laws were a result of the cultural issue.
Yes.
Right.
But I'm not saying that the politicians are running these experiments. I'm saying that so you
powerful
are a researcher
people
now.
Who have enough to lobby to get laws passed, that's what they do.
Yeah.
Broke ass people like us, we carry a sign and say, dude, get off my back.
But you're a researcher now.
Yes.
Right? You had nothing to do with the creation of the laws.
Right.
So cannabis.
Oh yeah, the law gets in the way.
Right.
Terribly.
But is there a way to legally
There
experiment?
Are, but they have literally cranked down a throttle valve on things. There's a guy in a southern state, I'm trying to remember whether it's Alabama or Mississippi, that grows most of the legal stuff.
Really?
That you can apply for and use.
Because
that's why most of the studies were done in other countries.
Mississippi and Alabama have no truck with legal weed, right? There's,
no,
it
I don't
four
think
states
so.
Or seven states?
Yeah, I mean, the government can do anything they want.
Legal weed is a little bit like gay marriage at this point.
Like this I gotta hear.
Well, same-sex marriage
right.
was legalized or decriminalized or whatever you want to call it in like 12 or 15 states before I knew what was happening.
Right. Like, don't we have more than 15 states now, though?
Now it is, yeah. But I'm saying before...
But you said 12 of 15.
12 or...
12 or 15 states. Here's okay. The, I think, you're slurring a lot today. Are you stoned? I'm pretty sure you're not.
I think that your ears are damaged because you're not taking those drugs.
It could be.
I think your blood pressure is going up, and I think you're starting to hear a lot more whooshing in your ears. I think that the constant pain, Pete.
Okay, I don't take blood pressure medication. This is just for heartburn.
Yeah, but your pain from your heartburn is increasing your blood pressure. And with the increased blood pressure, your hearing starts to deteriorate a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, until finally...
Next up, house.
You can't hear what I'm saying.
I disagree.
You cannot hear what I'm laying down.
But to go one step further, a lot of people are not only changing the... You know, the part of the molecule that determines what it does, but they're also changing the ligand, the part that binds to the receptor in your body. And one of the neat changes they've made is they took a ether oxygen and they hydrolyzed it. That means they added water and they made it two alcohols, two hydroxyls. So if you've ever heard people talk about cannabis diol, there are diol derivatives of things. That is the one that still has many of the same effects, but it doesn't make you goofy. So it's like DayQuil and NyQuil.
What's the point?
No, the point is, what if you have good anti-cancer, anti-tumor, and analgesic effects from these drugs, but it doesn't make you as loopy? Let's face it, there is no synthetic opioid that does not make you loopy. I think I've tried them all.
Well, wait, what's...
opioid, something based on opium.
What's methadone?
That's probably got to be a derivative because they use it to wean you off of heroin.
But then the idea is that it doesn't have the kick or the high.
So actually, I think it's got a less of a high. I would have to look methadone up to find out. It could be a totally different class of molecules.
And also, is methadone one of those things that we think is regular but is now like long gone?
Yeah, I think the methadone clinic reference has been gone for 20 years.
Yeah,
I'm not sure they necessarily do that. But ironically, what's heroin and its associated addictions are coming back. And a lot of it was due to the big drug companies that made synthetic controlled release versions of opioids, right? So when I say synthetic, this is what folks are doing now with marijuana. They're making tweaks to the molecule. So that means you've synthesized it. And they made through OxyContin and things like that, they made it controlled release, and they were fooling themselves to think that, well, if it's slowly released for pain release, you won't be addicted like a big shot where you feel the...
Yeah, because no one's ever taken more than they're supposed to of anything.
Right. So the point is, you got all these, you know, normally milk toasty people from the suburbs grinding up their OxyContin and taking it in large amounts and then doing whatever they can do, lie to their doctor to whatever degree they can to get more of it. And the best example, the most hypocritical example, is Rush Limbaugh, who was an OxyContin addict, who for years said, well, these drug addicts, they're the wrong kind of people.
I don't think even bothered to say drug addicts. Model. Like, wasn't he basically saying, you know, Democrats, poor people, and black people?
I think he might have actually referred to drug addicts. But I do believe that everyone, under the right circumstances, can have an addiction issue. Everyone. And you may be stable now, but you get one of these clinical depressive things. Say you lose your family in a car accident. If something horrible happened to you, I think we all can succumb to addiction. So I don't judge. I don't even judge Rush Limbaugh for that. I think we can all have problems.
Well, you should judge him for
his hypocrisy, yes.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't judge him. I judge him for the fact that for years he said, well, these... I have the same issue with religious folks. You know, they have an issue, but they're so quick to judge everyone else. That's really bad.
What kind of world are we supposed to live in?
A world where there's some level of balance.
See, here's the thing for me, right? I spoke earlier about the skepticism community and what do you call them? Processed foods and and essentially just spoke my belief, right?
Okay.
Because you know what have I got? What supports me, right? I have a single, long-term anecdote of evidence for my case when it comes to processed food versus unprocessed food. For a year, my wife and I ate only food that was grown only food that was grown within 100 miles of our home. What do you call that? Wow, the coffee just
only locally.
Off. Yeah, only locally. We called it the locavore
project.
But
that's basically reducing the resources we have to transport the food. That's just a good thing. Well, reduces carbon footprint, energy expenditures, costs.
But what that means then is that, like, you know, take any example, Pringles. There were no Pringles because where were the potatoes grown? Where did the Pringles come from, right?
Pringles really are a chemical process.
Yeah, right. Anyway, so
I'm not saying I don't like them.
So suddenly,
because
you know,
I do,
our diet was was all stuff that was made on farms. Our cheese was from a farm that was close by. That the cows were there, the milk was there, the enzymes,
The natural
were probably
flora
shipped in
your
elsewhere,
colon.
I'm guessing, right? Or maybe I don't know. But the process, the literal process of preparing our foods, like cheese, meats, breads, all that, those had to be local. In fact, we even went up to a mill in Helen where they ground flour so we could make bread, right? And we had some exceptions that were because we weren't trying to, we weren't trying to
be radical activists.
We weren't trying to test our stamina. Right. We weren't trying to create an arbitrary rule and then adhere to it perfectly to see if we could. We wanted to better our lives, right?
Right.
And so we had 21 exceptions, 17 exceptions.
Good. What was one of the exceptions?
Well, I can give you most of them.
Yeah.
Oregano. Scotch.
Oregano?
Yeah.
Oh, it's hard to get locally grown. Oregano.
Right. Yeah. So we got dried oregano from the farmers market. Scotch, gin. No. Scotch and vodka.
Don't we have some local distilleries?
I don't think we have local distilleries. We got our beer from Red Brick. If we bought beer, it was local beer. But also than that, that's cheating. You have to make that. That's an exception because where does the stuff come from? You have no idea. And then olive oil, coffee, salt.
We don't really have olive trees.
Or... Yeah. Interestingly enough, when we did have peanuts or peanut butter, we had to accept that was an exception because Georgia peanuts go out. They don't stay.
Yeah, we export a lot of peanuts. But see, you're talking about processed food when you talk about oregano and the process they do to preserve it. Most of the reason we process food is to preserve it and make it easier to get.
Well,
we dry it.
Exactly. And that's a process, certainly.
And I have dried basil and oregano, a lot of things. But we try to use fresh herbs, but we can't always do it.
So the thing that happened on the Locavore Project was a byproduct of the Locavore Project, of that insistence on the 100
miles. Oh, Locavore.
Miles.
Local,
yeah,
herbivore, omnivore,
exactly.
Whatever.
Okay, vore, I guess, is something.
Oh,
is
that
eat? Is that eat in Latin?
I really have no idea.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. A byproduct of that, the arbitrary rule that we applied is basically everything that comes in the grocery store in a box or a bag. Was out, so Pringles, obviously, but then also Wonder Bread.
But there's another classic food treatment option is the whole idea of bleached flour is bad. My children have never known any flour or bread or baked good that was not whole wheat.
Right, right.
Whereas I drank or I ate, well, you can almost drink it, actually, if you put it in a blender, white bread my whole life. I didn't know what whole wheat bread was.
But you hear what I'm saying. Like, all that stuff that we categorize as a whole as processed food, that people say, look at all the chemicals, check the ingredients, and do you recognize all that stuff? Those were out simply by the virtue of we could not verify their ingredients, and they were, now, scotch, obviously.
Okay.
Can't verify that.
All right, so you're not going overboard. You have some exceptions when it comes to booze and oregano.
A little bit overboard.
You weren't smoking the oregano, were you? Because this morning, kind of seems like you did.
People grow up dope in Georgia.
So that was locally sourced as well.
I haven't gotten high since I married my wife. So that year, the straight up before and after kind of effect, lost weight, felt better.
I just whacked the microphone.
All of these things that were clearly like, this has improved the way our body works, the way our brains worked, all that. It was obvious that cutting out the processed food had an effect that was generally
good.
Better.
Yeah, okay.
And good.
Yeah, I believe that.
So then when someone says, oh, the argument that there's chemicals is a foolish argument because chemicals are in everything. I say...
No, I'm not saying. You're talking about artificial additives.
But a lot of people say that. And I say, let's let's dispense with straw man arguments on both sides, right? We just want to say that processed food, right, clearly is less good than unprocessed food when it comes to your diet. Unprocessed food that's not like unpasteurized, that is unpasteurized or not cleaned or is rotten. Okay, yeah.
So pasteurization,
that's
you're
pretty
okay
bad.
With.
Well, I'm not judging that in any way. We drank raw milk.
But again, it's a balance.
A little
pasteurization, small amounts of preservatives. If not engaging in the consumption of those prevents you from eating generally healthy food, then it's worse. And I will say
this
in economically disadvantaged neighborhoods where they don't have farmers markets and all these places like, you know, where you buy all your fancy food, it's more difficult.
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah.
So to say that no, that's bullshit. There's chemicals and everything, so you can
you don't have
to make these distinctions.
Is
that is an overindulgence in the skeptical mindset of where's your data? Where are your data?
You correct. Know, we discussed this last time.
Yeah, and I don't give a shit still, but for you, I'll do this.
Thank you.
You know, or you know, only fools talk about GMO as if that was a problem because we've always, what do you call it when you...
Well, in a sense, selective breeding is a little bit...
Yeah, selective breeding.
So on this, we probably agree. I don't have a problem with genetically modified organisms, but I think they should be labeled. I think people should be allowed to make a choice for themselves. These people that want to not label it, I think that's wrong.
Well, you can make a case that the labeling implies some importance. It's sort of like if you started labeling everything as not from Mars, you know, the people who did label it not from Mars, the people who didn't, it would somehow create this impression.
What is
in
this,
the
star-bellied sneeches argument?
It is
impression. I agree.
I like that. That's pretty good.
But
it
I think it's fair.
Sneech.
I think you ought to know what you're eating.
And a sneech. What other kind of animal in Dr. Seuss is more likely to be high?
This is Consilience with Pete and Charlie, a podcast about the intersection of science and the humanities.
The unity of knowledge. I always like to say that part.
You can find us on Facebook, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, and you can always get in touch with me or Pete if you look on Twitter and other social media.
And can't you also find us on Tumblr at peteandcharlie.tumblr.com?
Thank you.